Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
We love him very much, and it has been such a great hole in our family. You know, there's so many events you go through, and like, again, like other people have mentioned, it's almost like losing somebody in death, but not, because you don't know. There's this question that just lingers, and it can really eat at your soul.
39-year-old Billy Oliveira disappeared from his home in Nahiku, which is on the Hawaiian island of Maui, around 10:30 p.m. on the evening of July 13, 2015. Billy lived with his grandmother, and she heard a vehicle pull up to their house that night. Billy went outside to meet this mystery visitor, and he's never been seen or heard from again. Billy had a very close relationship with his grandmother, and it was extremely out of character for him to lose touch with her. Billy's family has had a very minimal amount of assistance from law enforcement because he's an adult and he has the right to disappear if he wants. But it's been over 2 years now, and no one has ever discovered a reason why Billy would have walked away. So the question remains, what happened to Billy on the evening of July 13th, 2015? I'm Marissa, and this is episode 97 of The Vanished, the story of Billy Oliveira's disappearance. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere. While traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner. And it's great for my evening walks, too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. I was contacted back in June by Billy's cousin Amy. She's been working really hard to try to get Billy's story out there because his disappearance hasn't received much media attention. When I first started looking into his case, I went onto Google Maps and checked out the satellite view of the area where he went missing. It's very remote, which has created its own set of challenges when they've tried searching for Billy. I asked Amy if she could describe the area, since I'm sure most of you listening aren't familiar with this area of Hawaii either.
Basically, Hana Maui is on the east side of the island, and it is about a 2-hour drive from town. So, you know, it's really separated from town. And even, I mean, of course, our town is small compared to a lot of the continental United States cities, but it is mostly large trees and vegetation. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful drive. I know a lot of people do visit to take that drive out there, but when you're in this situation, it is the saying, finding a needle in a haystack, is like, even with drones, it's difficult to see below the tree lines because it's so big, it's so lush and green, and it's miles and miles and miles of that. And they're kind of where my grandparents and my family's from is not even quite into Hana Town, so it's even a little bit more secluded. Where Hana Town has a little bit more development, more homes and the stores and the hotel, you know, that part of town, they're even outside of that where it's even a little bit more secluded. And you have this lush, dense vegetation, jungle-like area on one side, and then you have the ocean right there also. So that's another big concern, I guess, is that now you've got all this ocean as well that it could be anywhere.
To give you some background on Billy, he was living with his grandmother when he disappeared, and they were very, very close, because Billy had been raised by his grandparents.
His parents were never married. His dad and my mom are brother and sister. And then his birth mom, you know, had remarried, and his dad remarried. But my grandparents ended up adopting him when he was 16 because he stayed there. My uncle was in the military, so he was away a lot, and he stayed with my grandparents throughout his childhood. So when he was 16, they legally adopted him.
Billy was so close to his grandmother that he always told her where he was going, and also checked in on her if she was traveling somewhere too.
My grandpa passed about 10 years ago, so it was just him and my grandma. And he never ever went anywhere without telling her where he was going, who he was going with. He would call her when he got to where he was going to. And even if, say, she came to stay with us, I have a message on my answering machine at home from before he went missing. She came out and spent the night with us, and it was just checking in, you know, making sure you got out okay. Call me when you get this message. And so they had that relationship where he always told her where he was going, and vice versa, always knew where she was going and checked in on each other. And so him not calling or reaching out after even 2 days, it was like something is not right.
One of the things that makes his disappearance so out of character is that Billy was a homebody, and when he did go somewhere, it was pretty predictable because he only went places with a handful of people that he was close to.
So he was actually kind of a homebody. He really didn't go anywhere unless it was with people he knew very well. He enjoyed softball. He played softball. And so a lot of the times that's what his outings would be, like when they'd have tournaments or games, he would attend. Personality-wise, I think you can ask anyone, and he was funny. He was loud. He was, you know, really witty. You could say anything and he'd end up making you laugh. And he also liked to read a lot. He loved like Greek mythology and sci-fi. He had all these different like attributes about him. I don't know. He was just really unique. But, you know, going through this, everybody said, you know, they can't believe that this is happening with him because he was such a nice person. And he did have a drug problem later. Actually, within, I would say, a year and a half before his disappearance, he finally admitted that he would smoke marijuana. You know, everybody knew that. And then he started having like hallucinations, and it got to a point where he asked for help because he knew something wasn't right. And then it was at that point my mom took him to the doctor, and that's when he, you know, told the doctor and my mom that, yeah, he had done meth, but he wasn't a frequent, you know, it wasn't something he did all the time. But it was almost like all it took was a few times and it kind of messed with him. So we were dealing with that as well. We're trying to get him into a treatment facility, which was a battle in itself. We had that issue, and we didn't see it. When he went missing, we didn't say that because it was almost like we didn't want to deter people from helping. Because I think once people hear, like, oh, it's just, you know, it's another druggie, you know, whatever. So we never really put that out there. And the mental health thing also, which he was on medication for, they did actually prescribe him some medication. There was never a clear diagnosis. It was more like they just gave him I don't have the name of the medication, but it was like a antipsychosis medication. There was never a real clear diagnosis. It was more like, and the doctor told my mom, like, oh, it's, you know, because of the drugs that he's having these hallucinations. And so when he takes the medication, it'll help him. But you could tell when he wasn't on the medication, though. Like, you could tell. Even with this situation with him and how he was, he still was a homebody.
So July 13th, 2015 was like any other day. Billy was at home that evening with his grandmother. Around 10:30 p.m. that night, his grandmother heard someone pull up to the house. She said that it sounded like a truck because it was so loud. She assumed that it was one of Billy's brothers. Billy went out to speak to the person who had just pulled up, and that's the last time he's ever been seen. Billy's grandmother wasn't the only person who heard the vehicle pull up that night.
Where they live, it's like a family lot, kind of. So there's like my grandmother's house and my uncle live right nearby. It's very close. So they also heard a truck. But one of his brothers from his mom's side, to the half-brother on his mom's side, used to pick him up because his brother worked in town. And so on his way home, sometimes he would stop and pick Billy up and take him into town. And generally he would tell my grandma, oh, you know, that his brother is picking him up. But when she heard the car, she just assumed it was his brother. And even my uncle across the street, they made the same assumption. Like, oh, they heard the vehicle because he has like a loud truck. And nobody really thought anything of it.
Billy had made plans for the following morning, and when no one could find him, that's when they realized that something must be wrong.
The next morning, he was supposed to go with his brother, his half-brother from his dad. So this is my cousin also. So he went to the house, asked my grandma, you know, where's Billy? And she said, Akka picked him up last night. And so he said, okay. So he went to look for Billy. And at that point, that's when he was like, the other brother said, no, I didn't pick him up. I didn't work. So he started asking, you know, the family. Nobody heard from him. Nobody saw him. Nobody picked him up. His cell phone was at the house. So we couldn't try, you know, nobody could get in touch with him that way.
The family began searching the area on their own, thinking that maybe he could be injured somewhere nearby.
From that point on, they started doing just like trying to do their own search. Billy has a dog, so they put the dog in, you know, hopes that maybe if by chance he did go walking and get hurt, or, you know, he fell down and because there's rivers and stuff. But even that would be out of character for Billy. You know, he wasn't one to go, like, just to go walking to the river or hiking in the mountains. He kind of, you know, it would have been out of character. But, you know, on the other hand, we knew that he was kind of going through this psychosis also. So it was kind of, you know, weighing those theories, I guess. But still it was nothing. And nobody saw him. And that town is very tight-knit because it's small. I don't think there's more than 5,000 people. So everybody know, you know, you're either related or you know each other. And so word got out pretty quickly and nobody saw him. Nobody heard anything. Nobody, you know, heard anything about it. That's when we tried to get in touch with the police and try and file a report.
When Billy's family contacted law enforcement, they wouldn't immediately file a report. In fact, they made his family wait several days.
You know, after this, I've learned how everybody goes through the whole, he's an adult. If he wanted to leave, he can. There's no sign of criminal activity. We had to wait. They made us wait till that Thursday to file the report. So he was missing from Monday. It was a really long time. And then we learned the hard way that there's no search and rescue through our police department. So we had to contact the Maui Search and Rescue, who's a nonprofit group that formed. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Charlie Scott case here.
For those of you who aren't familiar with the case, Charlie Scott was a pregnant woman who went missing in February of 2014. Charlie's remains were later located, and her family has gone on to be very supportive of other families of the missing, including Billy's family.
So her family trained themselves, got dogs trained, and formed this search and rescue group. But they cannot reach out to the families we have to contact. So thankfully, someone on my Facebook page knew someone in the search and rescue group that told me, if you guys need their help, you need to contact them. They can't contact you. So we did that. And then finally, we got them out there that Thursday night after they filed the report so that they could try and get the dogs out there. And they lost his scent really near the house. It was, down the road, down the driveway, you know. Everybody's consensus was that he had to have gotten into a vehicle. And then the question goes to who, because, like I said, he never went with anyone he wasn't related to or really, really close friends with. Nobody was saying, you know, that it was, oh yeah, that they went to the house, so.
Stamps.com brings you all of the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail, using your own computer and printer. Stamps.com makes it easy. They'll send you a digital scale that automatically calculates exact postage. Unlike the post office, Stamps.com never closes. Print postage for letters or packages at your convenience 24/7. You'd be surprised how much mail I send out related to the podcast, whether it's sending you guys stickers or mailing out Freedom of Information Act requests. I use Stamps.com because it saves me a ton of time. I never have to even leave the house. And right now, you can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus postage and a digital scale, without long-term commitments. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Vanished. That's Stamps.com, enter Vanished. Stamps.com, never go to the post office again. Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be a challenge. I've always had problems, whether it was with the fit or quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims. From cropped silhouettes to long-sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. You know that I've been wearing Skims for a long time, and recently tried one of their t-shirts. It's the best fitting tee I've ever worn. Skims makes the best basics and foundations. I got the boyfriend t-shirt in Onyx, and it's so soft and comfortable. I want to wear it every day. It literally fits like a dream. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows. Billy's family strongly believes that someone out there knows what happened to him. Even with extensive searching, they've never found a single trace of him.
Somebody knows. I mean, like so many of these stories, somebody knows something and they're just not saying it. And the search and rescue folks searched, I think, 3 miles in each direction, as far up into the mountains as they could. We also went down the rivers to the ocean. The family did a coastal search on a private boat because we found out later that if we wanted Coast Guard's help, we were supposed to let them know within 24 hours or something, and nobody told us that. So we had lost out on their help, but they had taken a boat and just did a coastal run and there's never been anything that came up, you know, no clothing, no shoes, no. He had his wallet with him with his ID. That's never popped up. Bank accounts haven't been touched. Well, he had only one bank account.
They've also never been able to find communications between Billy and anyone else setting up to meet at his home that night, or even Billy asking for a ride.
Where he lived, there was no cell service. So if he made any calls or texts, it would have to be in town. And he didn't drive. He never drove. So someone would have had to take him to, so there was nothing on there. The last texts were people texting to see where he was.
Law enforcement hasn't really done much to look for Billy. They've always believed that he's just out somewhere partying. But how likely is that over 2 years later?
In the beginning, the police kind of came to the assumption that he went on a bender. And I was like, okay, but how long? 6 months later, I don't think he's still doing that. And nobody's seen him. No, he has to eat, is he just holed up somewhere all this time? I don't know. I feel like the police in there really never gave it much thought. Like, they did come to the house. They went in his room. They found, a list of phone numbers. And then that was it. That's all they did. And then we were assigned a detective. He listens. But at the same time, I don't know if it's just to, shut me up. to pacify me kind of thing. Okay, we'll look into it. But I don't feel like there's any urgency on their part.
Even though there is almost nothing to go on in Billy's case, his family does have some suspicions.
Because there are a few people we have questions about. And I don't want to name them only because threats have been made to family members from the one individual that we feel really strongly about. And we have text and all this stuff that we've given to him, and he's like, well, we talked to him and he said he doesn't know. And it's like, this kid has a history of selling drugs. It was known that he owed people money on the island. He's actually family to us. So, all these things, and he left the island not too long after this all happened. To me, it's like, maybe you should take a closer look into it because you have the equipment and training and whatnot, but they've never followed up with that.
Amy told me more about the threatening text message that this person had sent.
The text was to Billy's brother. He had texted him something like, if I go down for kidnap and murder, I'm going to take you with me. We called the detective right away. My cousin was called. He went to the police station in Hana, and it was okay, we'll look into it. And they never did, because right after that, he left to supposedly Las Vegas.
As far as his family knows, this family member hasn't come back to the island since shortly after Billy disappeared. They see this as a huge red flag. While they were searching for Billy, people kept saying something strange to Amy, something that still to this day is very confusing.
This is completely hearsay because I don't know. This is just what people were telling me as we were going through the search and whatnot. So they have the same initials. And I didn't understand what that meant because people kept saying, well, they have the same initials. And yeah, they do. But what does that mean? And they're saying, well, the other one was, selling. And so if he just used his initials, then he could have used Billy as kind of sold him out as the guy that really owes the money. And they take Billy because he's the one, they put the blame on him kind of thing. That's how I understood. I didn't understand wholly, but the other thing is this, Billy would have been comfortable to go somewhere with this person. So there's that in our heads too, either he knows something or he was there, or the detective asked me, do you think that this person could have done harm to him? And I don't think he could, but I don't think he would stop somebody from doing it if it meant he got away. You know, it was like he was that type of person. Like, he wouldn't care if somebody else got hurt, so just so long he can do his thing, like, he can get away with it. So, and a lot of our family kind of agree that, yeah, he would be a person to just kind of turn away and let it go, even though it's family.
There was a possible sighting of Billy a few days after he disappeared. They learned about this sighting very early on, but unfortunately, the surveillance footage has been lost.
You know, listening to the podcast and hearing about these things, it's like, okay, I guess we're not alone. But on that Saturday, while we were searching, someone in town told a security guard at a supermarket, told Billy's sister that he had seen him come into the store a couple days prior, so on that Thursday. So, of course, we get, like, super, he was certain. So we get there. So she goes to talk to the manager of the store, and he tells her, oh, he can't get the video, the surveillance video. So she's like, okay, well, when can you get it? And he said, I can't get it till tomorrow when my manager comes in. So she comes back to Nahiku, where we were all, you know, the search party. And so the next day we're waiting. Finally, we're calling, you know, can we come and see the video? And the guy's like, oh, you have to come after 5 in the evening. So we're like, fine. So my mom and I left and decided we were going to go to this store, which, you know, how I mentioned, it's like a 2-hour drive. So we get out there and the manager tells us, oh no, you need a police officer to come with you to view the video. So I'm like, fine. So we call the police. Someone meets me there. We go inside and the guy tells the cop, well, she can't come in there, only you can. And he said, but I don't know the guy. They do. I can't ID him. And so they're going back and forth. So the police calls his supervisor and they say, okay, well, to tell the store that tell the manager that to give them the tapes if he feels like, you know, there's something on there. And the manager tells the cop, no, I don't think there's anything on there for you. So then they left it there. So I called the detective and he's like, okay, well, we'll go up, you know, and whatnot. And they ended up deleting the video. They lost the video from that time period on that day, on that Thursday. So that was like, talk about infuriating. It was like so upset. Like, why would you say that? Why would you not even just let us look? Like, what do you have to lose in letting us see if that's our family member or not? Like, why couldn't you have just given them the tape and said, okay, yeah, maybe he's on there, I don't know. But no, he refused. And then I think it was that Monday, the detective went up and there that he said, no, that they had recorded over it or something. I don't know the manager. I don't know, you know, because that was my next thing. Was like, okay, how are you connected? You know, just trying to figure out, like, why would you do that? And I've heard that on other stories, you know, where people like, okay, I guess we're not the only ones then. And even if it wasn't, like, just let us see, you know, let us see if it, there's always that, what if it was him? You know, what if he was there at that time and we could have gotten him somehow, you know? There is always that he might be out there. He may have left on his own. He may not be in his right mind. We don't know because we don't know. We have nothing, you know, either way. To say he's, you know, there's foul play or to say that he just walked away.
As you've heard in so many cases, some people have come forward to the family with leads, but they refuse to speak to law enforcement.
While we were going through the search, you know, when things would come up, it was like, oh, you know, who's going to call? So I finally just called the detective and I told him because they were actually communicating with my grandma and she was having a hard time. So I asked her, I said, is it okay if I just tell him? And she's like, yeah, please. That's how I became the person. I kind of was speaking for her, but then it kind of became like nobody wanted to speak to the detective. So whatever anybody had to say, you know, goes to me, which is okay. But there were certain things, like somebody said that they heard at a party that he was being kept in this other area on the island, which is also very secluded. But it was like, can you call the detective and just tell him who you heard it from and when and all of that stuff? Because if I call, it's hard for him to ask questions. And, you know, maybe he is there. Maybe we could have gotten him.
One other frustration Billy's family has had is the lack of assistance from the local media. The media has the ability to help get Billy's face out there so people actually know that he's missing. Maybe someone saw something, but they don't even know that it's important.
The media, the first week, they did one on TV news, you know, just Maui police need your help searching for missing men. That was it. And then we have the Maui Now, but it's more online, catching only people that go online. They'll put things up for me if I ask them, and they're the only ones that I did an interview with.
When I first started talking with Amy, you couldn't even find Billy in the NamUs database. Anyone can contact NamUs to have a missing person added. Then NamUs contacts law enforcement to confirm the details. Amy had done the first step, but she wasn't getting the necessary cooperation from the Maui Police Department. Today, you can find Billy in the NamUs database, but they still refuse to take DNA samples. If you check out Billy's profile, there are no dental records, fingerprints, or DNA available to compare. So even if remains were located, there's nothing to compare them to. Billy's disappearance has been hard on his entire family, but it was especially hard for his grandmother, who was so close to him.
The December after he went missing, she started losing a lot of weight. And so people kept thinking, well, you know, she might be depressed or whatnot. And then they found out she had cancer. So she's going through chemo right now. And she doesn't talk about it. You know, if it comes up, she removes herself, or like she just doesn't want to talk about it. And in the beginning, she said, you know, oh, I think maybe he hit his head and has amnesia and he just doesn't know who he is. I was like, well, maybe, you know, maybe that's what happened. So she kind of just hung on to that he's out there, somebody's taking care of him, and he just doesn't know who he is or how to get home. She was in denial about his drug use. So when we went through all of that, she was so upset that we were saying it, you know, we're like telling her like it's true and we have to tell them, because even though it's hard to hear, that might be a way to help us find him. Because if it is drug related, then the police have to know that. You have to be honest with them. And after a few months, I don't know what she really feels. Cause like I said, even if his name comes up, she kind of just quiets herself. And so we kind of don't talk about it in front of her. There was times that we went to take her shopping and she'd find like a candy that he used to eat, and she would just hold the candy in the store and tell us, you know, oh, this is Billy's favorite candy. I wish the people could see that part, you know, that have the answers, like, this is what you're doing.
Billy's family is hoping that someone out there is holding the answers and encourages them to come forward, even anonymously, to help bring some closure to this case. As time has worn on, Billy's family has less and less hope that he's out there somewhere alive. Remember, they live on an island. How is it possible that no one's seen him?
I know there's so little information, but I just hoping that somebody will hear us, you know, just, I don't know how else to get that out there, that something happened. You know, this is 2 years later, something happened to him. And I think we deserve to know, especially if it's family. That's the hardest. If you're family and you're keeping information, like we go to the end of the driveway and it's like, okay, if he got in a car, they could have gone one way, which is, you know, 50 miles back to town, or the other way, which is the same thing. And that way is more coastal. So it's like so broad, you know.
You aren't sleeping and you're stressed out. That's how it was for me, so I cleared out my cabinet and reset my health with CBD from CB Distillery. Their deep sleep gummies are amazing. CB Distillery's targeted formulations are made from the highest quality clean ingredients. No fluff, no fillers, just pure, effective CBD solutions designed to help support your health. In two non-clinical surveys, 81% of customers experienced more calm, 80% said CBD helped with pain after physical activity, and an impressive 90% said they slept better with CBD. If you struggle with a health concern and haven't found relief, make the change to CB Distillery. And with over 2 million customers and a solid 100% money-back guarantee, CB Distillery is a source to trust. I have a 20% discount to get you started. Visit cbdistillery.com and use code VANISHED for 20% off. That's cbdistillery.com, code VANISHED. cbdistillery.com.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
I had submitted a Freedom of Information Act request for Billy's case file. At first, they granted my request. Amy and I were both thrilled because she hasn't had any luck getting documents. I sent in the fee that they had requested, but they turned around and said it was all a mistake and that they weren't going to release anything at all. So this is where the story that I had prepared for you was going to end. But Amy contacted me last weekend with a couple of updates.
Our grandma that Billy lived with passed away on September 11th of this year. And for our family, I think there was kind of like the last bit of hope that because they were so close, that if he knew she was sick and if he knew she was that close to dying, he would have shown up at some point or at least tried to make contact. And we waited at the hospital, hoped and prayed at the funeral that he'd walk into the church, and he didn't. And for us, that was kind of like, okay, you know, yes, it's been 2 years. Some of us have just hung on to that hope that he was still out there. And this was kind of it, that we knew he wouldn't probably be coming home. And then it was very coincidental that the same day she passed, this article came out on Facebook from our police department asking for the public's assistance in identifying remains that was found. And so I followed up on it just because it was just weird. I know people were like, I was kind of grabbing there, but I was like, oh, the same day I have to ask. So we got the detective to kind of check on it, but I haven't received any kind of confirmation on that. But they've never taken Billy's DNA samples either. So even if they were to run it, there's nothing for them to compare it to. And we had kept a toothbrush, a hairbrush, and the pillow he slept with in a plastic bag, and they won't take it. So I don't know. That part's very frustrating for us because now we know that there may be remains that are found that may just be disposed of without the families of the missing even being notified. When I asked the detective about it, he wasn't notified because it wasn't found in an area where Billy went missing. But we live on an island, so it's like you'd kind of hope that they'd all be notified and notify the families of the missing people here, because there are more than just our family, you know, looking and waiting and searching for answers for their missing loved ones.
Amy explained where these remains were found in relation to where Billy had gone missing.
So it was found in Kihei, which is the south side of the island. So it's, I would say, about maybe like between 50 and 60 miles from where he went missing. It's almost like the opposite side of the island. But what struck me was that there were supposed sightings of him in Kihei, and one woman said that she spoke to him, and this was last year, and that he said he was staying in Kihei. So that part kind of made me want them to really look into it, because if that was true, they should be checking on this. And I spoke initially with the forensic unit who had put out that bulletin for information, and they told me that it was a male, maybe 30s, 40s, but it was in the advanced stages of decomposition, so there were, you know, you wouldn't be able to tell if there was scarring or anything like that. When it went to the detective, it was kind of like, okay, they would check on it, and then kind of just wait and wait. Even a no would be fine, you know, just say we've identified the person, but you kind of just wonder how many others have gone through the system, so to speak, without us being notified. I did have a meeting with the detective, and we kind of went over, this is prior to the 2-year anniversary, I guess, lack of a better word, but of his going missing. And so they also were supposed to re-interview some people that they spoke to initially. We kind of just compared notes on what we had in that meeting, and so, and that I haven't received any update on either. So, and I understand, you know, sometimes they can't say, and that's understandable.
This is Amy's message to Billy in the event that he's out there somewhere alive, and also to anyone out there who may know something.
I will say, if by chance he is out there somewhere and somehow this message can get back to him, that we are looking, that we will not stop looking for him, and no matter what, we're here to, you know, just let us know that you're out there. But again, on the other hand, if he's not, we will continue looking, and we won't stop until we find the answers that we need. You know, we love him very much, and it has been such a great hole in our family. You know, there's so many events you go through, and like, again, like other people have mentioned, it's almost like losing somebody in death, but not, because you don't know. There's this question that just lingers, and it can really eat at your soul, just wanting to know. And again, if anybody does have information, to please, please, please reach out to the family, to the police. We have the Facebook page. You can reach us on there. Just help us put an end to this and get the answers we need.
So what happened to Billy Oliveira on the evening of July 13th, 2015? Who pulled up to his house that night? Multiple people reported hearing the vehicle. If that person had nothing to do with his disappearance, why haven't they come forward to say something like, "Hey, I did stop by that night and I talked to him for a few minutes," or "I gave him a ride somewhere"? Did Billy just walk away from his life, whether intentionally or due to the mental health issues he was dealing with? Billy was last seen wearing blue jeans, a dark hoodie, and black, gray, and red sneakers. If you have any information about the disappearance of Billy Oliveira, you can contact the Maui Police Department at 808-244-6400. If you don't feel comfortable contacting law enforcement and you'd rather go through his family, you can call 808-269-0566. Or you can send an email to helpfindbillyoliveira@gmail.com. If you'd like to follow this case on Facebook, Amy runs Help Us Find Billy Oliveira. You can also submit tips there as well. That brings us to the end of episode 97. I'd like to thank Amy for taking the time to speak with me and for keeping me updated on Billy's case. If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. You can find me on Facebook, where there's both a page and a private discussion group. I'm on Twitter at TheVanishedPod and on Instagram as TheVanishedPodcast. Join me next time. I'll be sharing the story of a woman who went missing in Georgia. Thanks for listening.
But it's so interesting listening to other people's stories that they're so far, and it, you know, every story is unique, but there's similarities, like with law enforcement, and it's just sad. It's very sad.
In the climate-ravaged year of 2072, the city of Pura stands as a miraculous green haven, a geoengineered paradise that protects fortunate residents from the global catastrophes of heat domes, fires, floods, and droughts. Demetria Lopez heads up Pura's public relations, tirelessly promoting the city's idyllic image. But when she stumbles upon a dark secret that, if exposed, would be the downfall of Pura's existence, she must decide who and what she is willing to protect. From Wondery, the makers of Academy and Dr. Death, The Last City stars actors Reyes Sehorn, Jeannie Tirado, and Maury Sterling. Follow The Last City on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Last City early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
It's all a lighthearted nightmare on our podcast, Morbid.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina Urquhart.
And I'm Ash Kelly.
And our show is part true crime, part spooky, and part comedy.
The stories we cover are well-researched.
He claimed and confessed to officially killing up to 28 people.
With a touch of humor.
I just like to go ahead and say that if there's no band called Malevolent Deity,
that is pretty great.
A dash of sarcasm and just garnished a bit with a little bit of cursing.
This motherfucker lied.
Like a liar.
Like a liar.
And if you're a weirdo like us and love to cozy up to a creepy tale of the paranormal,
or you love to hop in the Wayback Machine and dissect the details of some of history's most notorious crimes,
you should tune in to our podcast, Morbid. Follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to episodes early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.